2 Samuel 23, verse 11. Now, David is near the end of his life here, and he's looking back and he's thinking about his mighty men. He's reviewing over his life. And in this text, there's a story, a few verses about a man that was named Shammah. And the Bible says in verse 11, "And after him was Shammah, the son of Agee, the Harite, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines, and he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory." Amen. Let's bow our heads and go to the Lord together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, dear God, and we give you all the glory and praise tonight for everything. We just ask you, God, that you'd speak to our hearts from your word, Lord, because it's your word that changes lives. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So in this chapter, David, you're going to see a list of David's mighty men. And these men are going to be men that are going to be extremely brave men. They're going to be selfless men. And these are going to be men of strong resolve. And so when you look at the term, just like of what a mighty man is, mighty means having great bodily strength or physical power, or very strong or vigorous as a mighty man, being very strong, valiant, bold, as a mighty man of valor, is what the word mighty means. And you think about what valor is having strength of mind in regard to danger, the quality which enables a man to encounter danger with firmness, personal bravery, or courage. Okay, so when you see what Shammah was about, it's not even as much about his physical strength or how strong he was physically. I believe these men were in good shape, but what made this Shammah so amazing, and all these mighty amazing, it wasn't their physical toughness, it was their mental toughness. It was their mental strength that they had. This was a man that was mentally tough, mentally firm, had great courage not to run in danger, not to turn when things got tough and things got hard. So in our text today, when we're looking, you'll notice it says, "After him was Shammah, the son of Agee," and it talks about there was a piece of ground full of lentils, is what it says there. Okay, so a piece of ground full of lentils. Lentils, you know, is a type of bean, a type of peas. It's just a basic crop. And you've got this piece of ground that's got these lentils in it. And you think about what goes into planting lentils, what goes into growing these things. Someone had to get out there and break up this land, didn't they?
Yeah.
Someone had to get up there and plow this land. And they didn't have tractors. They didn't have the modern equipment we have. Someone had to work this land hard. Someone had to plow it. Someone had to get out there in that hot sun and do this work. And someone had to fertilize it and get that fertilizer and work it in the ground. Someone had to weed it. Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay. How many of y'all have gardens out there? How many of y'all love it when the deer get into it? Right? So someone had to keep the critters out of it. So someone, if they're going to have this patch of lentils, someone had to put a lot of work into it. Getting the weeds out. They had to bend down, break their back, pull these weeds out. Back-breaking work. So all this effort, all this work into this patch of lentils. So much hard work. Now we come to harvest time, the time when you get to enjoy the fruits of your labor. Now it's time to enjoy. We've worked hard. We've labored. Now God's given us the time we can enjoy a harvest. And it's at this time the Philistines come down, and now they've come to get these crops. They've come now to take it. They've not put any work into this, but they've come to devour it and take everything for themselves. Now it reminds me of what the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour."
Amen.
He's looking for who he may devour, who he may destroy. And what the devil always does is he always steals and he takes what does not belong to him.
Amen.
That's what he does. That's what his mission's all about. He's a thief. Jesus called him. He's a thief and a murderer. So that's what the devil does. So here comes the enemy. They come down, and the Bible says the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where a piece of ground full of lentils was. So the Bible says there's a troop of them. It's not just one or two, but there's a troop of them. And it says, "And the people fled from before the Philistines." So when we're looking at our Bible text, the Bible tells very clearly that when these troop of Philistines came, everybody runs. Everybody retreats. Everybody takes off. Nobody seems very worried or concerned about these lentils because, you know, it's just a pea patch, right? It's just a patch of peas. It's not worth dying over, right? So nobody cares. They all run. Everybody ran. Well, not everybody ran. One guy didn't run. Shammah fought. Shammah stood there and fought. The Bible says in verse 12, but he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it.
Yeah.
Now, in our Christian life, in your Christian life, you're going to find that there's seasons in your Christian life where you're going to grow. There's times in your Christian life that you're going to really grow and you're going to bear fruit. You know, Jesus talked about us bearing fruit. You know, there's times where you grow and there's tremendous growth times. There's times that you're just on fire for the Lord and things are growing great in your life. Is there not? There's some good times like that. There's times where you're just growing and gaining and getting stronger and stronger in the Lord. And those are those mountaintop times in your life. But is life always like that? Well, this story isn't about one of those times. Okay? This story isn't about gaining ground, is it? This story isn't about growing or gaining or picking up territory. This story is about defending territory.
Yes.
That's what this story is about. This story is all about is not giving up what you've already got to the enemy. That's what this text is all about. It's about not losing ground. It's about holding on to what you have and not giving it back, not giving it up to the devil. So the Bible term that you're going to look for in your text here, the Bible term used a lot of times, it's hold fast.
Yeah.
Hold fast. Jesus told the church in Revelation, he told one of the churches in Revelation 2:25, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come.
Amen.
Which means Jesus is telling that church, you hang on to what you got.
Yeah.
Don't lose anything else. You hang on and hang on. Now, churches are just not, don't seem to be packed anymore like they used to be, do they? Now, we got a good crowd tonight, but churches just aren't packed anymore like they used to be.
Right.
And I don't know if it's because of COVID. Maybe COVID's just an excuse.
Yeah.
Maybe COVID is the beginning of something different that's going to be happening to this world.
Yeah.
But I feel like in my heart, there's an evil that's starting to come. There's an evil that seems to be coming across our country.
Yeah.
And across this world. I feel like there's a darkness out there that's creeping in to this nation. And it just seems like people aren't coming to church anymore to hear the Word of God. Yeah, they want entertainment. They want rock music. They want fleshly devices. They want those things, but they don't want the Word of God. They don't want the truth. And so I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm not a defeatist by any means. But I do think maybe the days of packed churches may be over. They may be over. We may not ever see that again. But that doesn't matter, does it?
No.
It doesn't matter if we have packed churches anymore. What we have to do is defend what we have. So if you're a preacher, I'm going to tell you this. It doesn't matter if you have a packed church or if you've got 10, if you've got 15, if you've got 1, 2, or 3. What's the responsibility of the preacher? It doesn't matter how many are there. The responsibility of the preacher is to keep preaching the Word of God.
Amen.
You don't worry about the numbers. Now, this world tells you that success is about numbers. But that's not what Jesus said.
Nope.
Jesus said, be faithful till I come again.
Amen.
You be faithful. Success is about faithfulness. I'll talk more about that later. So you've got to be faithful to do the job that you're to do. You got to keep preaching, keep serving God. You don't worry about how many come. So you got to hold on to what you had. Everyone else ran. But what did Shammah do? Shammah held his ground. Shammah said, I'm not backing down. I'm not giving in. I'm not going to give up this territory that's ours. It's our peace. I'm not running. I'm standing my ground. And Shammah's attitude was, you know, that even if I die, I'm going to spill my blood in this pea patch right here.
Yeah.
I'm going to die because it's ours. It's not y'all. It's not the Philistines. It's not the devils. It's ours.
Yeah.
And if there's a place to die, I'm going to die defending my territory. So I've got to ask you this question. How important is your faith?
Yeah.
Are you willing to die for it?
Yeah.
How important is your family?
Yeah.
How important is your church? I talked about this Sunday night. We need people that are loyal to their church.
Yes.
We live in a time. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 or chapter 3, if you read about the end time, talks about a time where people will be traitors. And people are traitors in so many different areas. We need people that are loyal. That are loyal. How important is your Bible to you?
Yeah.
How important is your Bible? How important? You know, somebody's got to stand for these things.
Okay.
Somebody's got to take a stand. And that's the kind of man Shammah was. Not only did Shammah fight, you know, Shammah proved to be faithful. He was faithful. And again, I remind you, church, that's what Jesus has called us to do, is to be faithful. Again, 2 Samuel 23:11. After him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hariite, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, were a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from before the Philistines. So everyone else ran, they took off. Not a big deal to them, just peas, just plants, right? Just plants, not a big deal. It was easy for them to give it up, all right? But that's not the point to Shammah. It wasn't just peas, it wasn't just plants to Shammah. You see, Shammah understood when you give up ground to the enemy, it is almost impossible to get that ground back. It's hard to get back ground you've given up. And so Shammah, he didn't want to give it up. You know, even what I love about old Shammah is it didn't matter if I stood with him and helped, or if you stood with him or helped, if anyone helped Shammah, he was going to fight because it was the right thing to do.
Yes.
Are you that kind of person? Will you stand for what's right? Will you defend the faith? Will you stand for the truth? Will you stand for what's right? Will you stand for Jesus Christ when no one else will stand? Well, no one else will stand with you. When your own church family won't stand with you. When your pastor won't even stand, will you stand for what's true? That's the kind of world we're living in now. You've got to decide, are you going to stand and fight when no one else is going to stand with you? Listen to what Jesus, this is what Jesus said. Luke 9:23. He said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it.
Yes.
But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he should gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? You see, Jesus said if we're going to follow him, we've got to be willing to lay down our lives to follow him. Whatever it takes, we've got to stand and fight. So everyone ran. The Bible tells you, Jesus tells us, what kind of people run? And I know you think cowards do, but Jesus had a term for the person that runs. What kind of person runs? Think about it. The wolf comes. Jesus said, who runs? The hireling. That's exactly right. The hireling runs. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and the fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and the scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he's a hireling and careth not for the sheep. John 10:12-13. We've got churches today that are full of hirelings.
Yeah.
All they care about is making money. And they won't stand for anything. And they've got pastors there behind those pulpits. They won't preach any truth because they just want to get a lot of people to come in and give them money. They'll run. They just want to make people happy. They don't want to stand for any truth. Hireling after hireling. But you know what I love about old Shammah here? When I read the text here, the text never even said it, whose field it was. You see, I don't think it was even his field. I don't even think Shammah, it was his field. I think it belonged to Israel, absolutely. I think it was an Israelite's field. I think he knew it belonged to his people. But when everyone ran, I think his attitude was, this isn't theirs, it's one of our fields. And I'm going to stand and fight for it.
Yeah.
You know, Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And Shammah wasn't just looking for himself here. He wasn't looking out for what was best for him. He was looking out what was best for his brothers and his sisters. And even though some of them ran, he stood and he fought. Oh, Shammah, he was faithful. Proverbs 20 in verse 6 asks this question. It says this: most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? Numbers 12:7. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. Matthew 25:21. This is what you want to hear when you stand before the Lord. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You notice he didn't say thou successful servant or thou well-loved servant, but well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee rule over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Luke 16:10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Moreover, it is required, stewards, that a man be found faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:2. How faithful are you to serve the Lord, to church, to your Bible reading, to prayer? How faithful are you? And Jesus said, if we're not faithful in the little things, we'll sure not be faithful in the big things. That's not what I'm saying. That's what Jesus said.
Yeah.
You know, in these last days, though, there's so much evil. And there's so much wickedness. And every time I see KFSM news, I just want to bang my head on the floor. It's just so negative and so bad. I want to encourage you. Don't you be discouraged.
Amen.
You keep fighting. You hang in there. And you stay true. And you keep faithful to the very end. Jesus told one of his churches, be thou faithful to the end, and I'll give thee, be faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life.
Amen.
Don't get discouraged. You be faithful. Don't give up. Don't give up. Matthew 24:12 says this, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved.
Amen.
You know, we look around, and people are just quitting everywhere you look.
Right.
You know your marriage? You got to fight for it.
Yep.
You got to fight for it. Now, some of y'all have been married a long time. You know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all may not have been married that long. I'm going to tell you, you've got to fight for it. And I want to tell you, it's worth it. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't run. You know, the Bible says when two people become one, when you rip that apart, you're never going to be the same. You're never the same. You got to fight for it. People are dropping out of churches left and right. I'm seeing people dropping out of church now, and it just breaks my heart. I see people that I thought were solid rocks in the church.
Mm-hmm.
I see people that I thought would never drop out.
Yeah.
I'm seeing people that I thought were so strong. And they act now, some people act like now that they've never even believed before. They act like they've never been saved before. They've never met the Lord. They're acting so bizarre to me.
Yeah.
What's happening in this world? You've got to stay strong.
Yeah.
And you've got to keep fighting.
Sure.
And if everyone else quits, you don't quit. You stay in your field and you fight. God's given you your own field. He's given me a field. He's given me my own pea patch. You've got your pea patch. You've got to defend that patch. You've got to fight, and you've got to fight. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter if anyone else helps you. You've got to stay in that thing, and you've got to keep on fighting. Matthew 24:42 says, watch therefore, for you not know what hour your Lord doth come. But this know, that if the goodman of the house had known at what watch a thief would come, he would have watched and would have not suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be also ready, for such an hour you think not the Son of Man cometh. Now listen to what Jesus said. Who then is that faithful and wise servant? There's two terms, faithful and wise. Who's the faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give him meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing.
Yes.
Did you know what he's saying? He said he's looking for the servant that's going to be faithful to the end.
Yeah.
That is the wise and faithful servant. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. the example that Shammah left. It says, but he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory. Now here's another King James Bible word that you can look up and study that has a lot of meaning behind it. It says what he did in verse 12. But he stood.
Yeah.
And there's the Bible word. You want to do a good Bible study for yourself sometime. You compare that to the opposite of that word. What's the opposite word of standing?
Falling.
Look at things in the Bible that fall and compare that to this word stand. You'll be surprised at the things that fall and compare those things that stand. God's people stand. The devil falls. He falls. But you notice, he stood. He stood. And the Bible over and over again exhorts us to do the very same thing. To stand. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or epistle. Hold the traditions. You don't have to change everything. Hold the traditions. Hold the church like it is. Keep it going. Hold on to that word. Hold on like it's been going. Just keep going. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 7. Therefore, brethren, we are comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith, for we now live if ye stand fast in the Lord. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And so here the Bible tells us to stand fast. In a day and time where people are falling, where churches are falling, where denominations are falling, right?
Yeah.
Hey, when a denomination says that two men can get married, that denomination's falling.
Amen.
When you have a church that says two men or two women get married and it's okay, that church is falling.
Amen.
It's falling. It's done. Okay? So we need to be a people that fear God more than man. And so this is what God tells us. So, and I'm winding down now, but in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might.
Amen.
Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. And listen to what it says next. Ephesians 6, verse 13. That ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. There's an evil day he's talking about that's coming. And we're in that evil day. I believe we're coming right up into this evil day. And you have to have God's armor on, or you are not going to be able to stand.
Right.
Only the people that have God's armor on are going to be able to stand. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked.
Right.
So again, I want to remind you, the devil wants your marriage. Wants your kids. He wants your grandkids. He wants your church. But what must we do? Got to stand. Got to fight. Okay? You got to pray.
Yeah.
You might have to get up, set your alarm clock, get up at 4:30, 5 in the morning, go in another room, and pray a little while. And maybe you'll fall asleep while you're praying. Oh well. Don't let the devil beat you up about it either.
That's right.
You know? Sometimes, I just want to focus out real quick. Any of y'all try to pray at night and you go to sleep while you're praying?
Yeah.
You know what that means? That means you're in a peaceful place.
Yeah.
You're praying and your heart's so peaceful that you just went on into sleep. That's to me a beautiful thing. That's not a bad thing. Devil will try to beat you up over it.
Yeah.
You know? You're praying. You just keep praying. Just keep praying. Don't worry about it. You fall asleep, wake up, keep pray again. You know, but just keep praying. Don't let the devil beat you up. You just keep praying. Don't let the devil tell you you're going to fall asleep. Don't even try. He's trying to discourage you. If you fall asleep, oh well. Try when you wake up, go back to praying. That's all you got to do. Don't get discouraged. Keep fighting. Okay? Let me just throw this out real quick. I want to show you the New Testament version of this story. There's a New Testament version of this story. Okay? And here's a New Testament version of the story. Paul said this, For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. You know, Paul said he had a helper named Demas. And when it came time to fight, what did Demas do? Having loved this present world, forsook him.
Yeah.
But listen to what Paul said. 2 Timothy 4:16. At my first answer, no man stood with me. No man stood with me. But all men forsook me. I pray God it not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me.
Amen.
And strengthened me.
Amen.
When you stand, will you ever stand alone, church? You'll never stand alone.
That's right.
Never. Because God will always stand with you. That's what Paul said. Demas wasn't there, and he asked others to help him, but no one came. Then Paul said, but the Lord stood with me. Here's the last thing I want to share with you, and I'll be done tonight. The Bible says, he stood in the midst of the ground, defended it, and slew the Philistines. And this is what it says. And the Lord wrought a great victory. Shammah defended that piece of ground, slew them Philistines, kept it. And you might be thinking, whoopity-doo, he kept the pea patch. You know what God said he did? You know what God said? What kind of victory did God say it was? It was a great victory.
Amen.
It was a great victory. One man stood his ground, defended his pea patch, and God said, that's a great victory.
Yeah.
That's not a little victory. That's a great victory. And you're going to find that phrase only used one other time in the Bible where it says it's a great victory. It's a great victory. When you stand your ground and you fight, it's a great victory. Church, I want to encourage you tonight in these days. You stand for the truth. If there's anything in your life that God's not pleased with, you don't need me to preach on it. Holy Spirit's already told you what it is.
Yeah.
You confess that to God. You confess it. If we're faithful, and if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But I want to encourage you tonight. You get things right in your heart. You make things right with the Lord. And you fight. And you stand. And you pray for your kids. You pray for your grandkids. And you don't get discouraged. And you keep praying. And you keep fighting. And you keep standing. And if you get knocked down, you get back up. And you keep fighting. And you don't stop until the day the Lord takes you home.
That's right.
You keep fighting. Heavenly Father, we love you today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for the examples in your word that you've given us. Of folks that stood and they were strong because they trusted you. Dear God, I know, Lord, that there's no strength that we have on our own that amount to any good. Anything we do is because you stood with us and helped us. Lord, now as I hand this service over to Brother Lloyd, I just pray to God you'd have your way in this invitation. I just pray to God that you would lead, guide, and direct, Lord, and we give you the glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For the Lord.